This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News, I'm Lance Pride. North Carolina Democrat Governor Roy Cooper has declared a state of emergency to stop a school choice bill in his state legislature.
It's time to declare a state of emergency for public education in North Carolina. There's no executive order like with a hurricane or the pandemic, but it's no less important. It's clear that the Republican legislature is aiming to choke the life out of public education.
Former Democrat, now Republican State Representative Tricia Cotham responded saying school choice like charters must evolve as one size fits all in education is wrong for children. New York officials are urging the feds to allow illegal immigrants to work in the USA.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul and New York City Mayor Eric Adams are urging the federal government to move quickly to authorize working papers for asylum seekers. The two spoke out saying there are thousands of farm, food services, and cleaning job openings statewide in what is a labor shortage. Adams says right now an underground market has been created where migrants are being exploited and unable to pay taxes. I'm Skip Kelly.
President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy both said they had a productive debt ceiling discussion late yesterday at the White House, but there's no agreement as negotiations did not raise the nation's borrowing limit. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen announced June 1st is when the nation will run out of money. Russian Prime Minister Mikhail Mishustin has arrived in China, Moscow's foreign ministry confirmed. Plans are for a visit in which he will meet with President Xi Jinping and sign a series of deals on infrastructure and trade. Mishustin will take part in Russian-Chinese business forums and visit a petrochemical research institute in Shanghai. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated as we get this Tuesday underway. We are USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Longevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Longevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
A Pennsylvania girl is doing well after being bitten by a shark along the Jersey Shore this past weekend.
15-year-old Maggie Drozdowski was surfing Sunday afternoon off Stone Harbor when the incident occurred.
My whole body was basically in the water. I was just resting, and then I felt something on my foot, and it pulled me down underwater. It didn't hurt, but it felt pressure, and I felt the teeth all around the bottom of my foot. Like, my whole foot was in its mouth.
She was left with lacerations on her left foot and calf that required 6 stitches. While the beaches are still open in Stone Harbor, officials are warning everyone to be cautious. I'm Skip Kelly.
U.S. diplomatic deals to offset China's growing presence in the Pacific Islands appears to be paying off, with 3 agreements signed within 48 hours. Papua New Guinea signed a security pact in which the United States will provide training and funding to help PNG's military respond to threats like drug trafficking and natural disasters. The agreement hasn't been published yet, but is expected to give the United States military conditional access to bases, ports, and airports. Palau extended its Compact of Free Association, or COFA, with the United States for another 20 years, and Micronesia will follow suit very soon. AAA projects 42.3 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more from home this Memorial Day weekend. That's a 7% increase over 2022. Lance Pry, USA News.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, check it out. BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. Hey, George Barna is with us, the professor at Arizona Christian University and the president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU, here to talk about which generation's faith was most altered by the pandemic and how. Hey, George, how are we doing?
Doing well. Good to be with you, Bill.
Before we get into the topic, this is a topic that lingered, that really got the attention and gained some resonance with our audience. And you and I talked about the institution of the church. I was the one that brought that up, and I think it was a misuse of words. And you had expressed some great advisement on this, and that what an institution delivers, and it wasn't what Jesus had given us when he had directed the apostles to implement the church.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to remember why he instituted what we call the church. Now, of course, we have different definitions of church, but when he was talking about it, he was talking about the body of believers, not an institution. And as he talked about that, his advice to us, his admonition to us, his command to us was to go and make disciples. And so that's what the church is supposed to be about. And he gave us six different times in the scriptures when people were sitting around him and he's teaching them, and he described what a disciple was. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what we need to go back to, not what we've made it to be, but what did Jesus intend us to be doing in order to fulfill the great commission that he gave to us, which was to make disciples. So it's about obeying his teachings. It's about loving each other. It's about bearing fruit, you know, producing spiritual fruit. It's about placing God number one in our lives. It's about surrendering, and it's about submitting. In Luke 14, three of those admonitions, in John 8, 13, and 15, the other three. And so if we simply go back to what he told us to do in terms of discipleship, we would have a church in America that looks completely different than it looks today, that would have a different heartbeat than it has today, and would be reaping different results than it's reaping today, because we're also told in the scriptures, Galatians 6, you reap what you sow. Right. Sadly, we're reaping what we sow in the church in America. We don't like it, so we've got to sow something different.
Yeah, without a doubt, because when we were talking, the thing that hit me was that, you're right, George, because it's not like Jesus said, hey, go out and go bank a bunch of buildings.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like God needs a building, right? He doesn't need a temple.
He came to do away with that.
Right.
You know, I mean, they already had that. He could say, oh, this is great. Can you just get more people in it? That's our approach. You know, that was not his approach. I mean, his approach was, let's get fewer people in it, but those fewer people will be really sold out to what it's about. So that's the direction that we need to move. You know, what I found, and I may have brought this up in some previous conversation we've had, that when we've studied churches in America, we know that they measure five things. How many people show up? how many programs they offer, how many staff people they've hired for those programs, how much money they raise, how much square footage they built out. Jesus didn't die for any of those things.
Exactly.
You know, so let's commit ourselves to the thing that he died for, which is love, obedience, producing fruit, surrender, submission, and putting God before anything else.
I want to say it's about the idea of our faith as opposed to bricks and mortar. What was the idea? What was behind it? And Jesus was real clear, but the inclination of humanity, as we talked about last time, is to institutionalize things. And when we do, you get the Ten Commandments into the ten volumes, right?
Yeah, and I think each of us has to keep in mind that when you look at what Jesus did, he spent a lot of time trying to get them to believe the right things. Why? Because he knows, and now we know, that you do what you believe. So your beliefs produce your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is where the rubber meets the road. That's what demonstrates what you really believe, what you're really committed to, why you get out of bed in the morning. And so, yes, beliefs matter tremendously, but it's because they get converted into a way of living that demonstrates where our heart really is, what our mind is really latched onto. So we got to get the beliefs right, but then we got to prove that we've got it right by the way we live.
Exactly. And when you consider the church, we are the church. It's not about the buildings. It's not about the lead pastor. I mean, how many times has a lead pastor come under attack and we get church splits going on and all this other rambunctious behavior and fruit that's not of God? In a sense that what God had intended to be, it could be of God because God says, hey, look, maybe it's time to break things up like he did with the Tower of Babel and on and on. But we need to revisit, I believe, the Church of Acts and what the Acts Church was all about, George.
Well, yeah, you know, a few years back I'd written that book, Revolution. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of that was looking at what did Jesus tell us to do? I mean, I scoured the New Testament. There's no place in it where Jesus ever said, go to church. But time after time after time, he's exhorting us to be the church. And so that's why these beliefs matter and the way it translates to behavior matters. We are supposed to be the church, and through that, we influence the culture. That's that part of what he said a disciple does, which is to bear fruit. You know, we influence the culture. We're part of that transforming entity within the culture that he injects into the culture for the purpose of bringing every person to Christ, making them disciples. Each of us who claims that we love Jesus, each of us who embraces that label, Christian, has to understand that all that means is that Jesus loves me more than I love him, but I'm going to do the best that I can to love him that much, and I'm going to demonstrate it in these particular ways. And when I'm successful at demonstrating that by being a disciple maker, that's what changes the world. Christ and his Holy Spirit working through me because I'm trying to be the church that he made me and called me to be.
Would we be better off? Just a question here. Every Sunday, Saturday, people go to church. They go inside a building and sit in the same place that they sit, hardly talk and interact, though we're cautioned. We're said, hey, do not forsake the gathering of one another. But it wasn't necessarily confined to a church. But yet what we do, we've just so limited what God had intended for the church. We're better off taking that hour of time and going out just one-on-one with somebody, discipling somebody.
Well, if you look at the book of Acts, which is the model that we were given for what the church is supposed to look like, that's the church book in the Bible.
Right.
Well, when you look at that, what you find out is that the church met all the time, but they were meeting in homes, they were meeting in restaurants, they were meeting out in the fields where they played games together, they were meeting when families got together to do things. That was the church at work. That was the church being the salt and the light in the culture in which they were placed to have a life-transforming influence.
Why? Exactly.
Because we know that one of the ways that you make disciples is that people watch what you do. And if it's compelling enough, they're going to want to do it too. or they're going to ask you questions about it. And that's when we get to build or expand the church, by bringing them into that circle of people that we get to love and disciple.
Well, George, can't thank you enough for, you know, talking and bringing this up, because I think this is really critical, especially where we are right now. Got to go to break. We've got more from George Barna after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Glad you could join us. Dr. George Barna continues with us. He's the professor at Arizona Christian University, president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU. And I just want to put a bow around that first segment here, if we could, George. You touched on some critical points, and that is, I think it's a call for the church to be what Jesus had intended the church to do. And really, for a time such as this, when you've got so much chaos and a lot of questions, and you've got Satan running amok, being as divisive as he can be, and all the lies that are flourishing, now more than ever, if we're going to combat this movement, the church, the body of Christ, as Jesus has intended, has got to step up, doesn't it?
In doing all this research about pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, one of the most frustrating things was looking at what local churches did during that three-year period of time. And what we find is that most of them embrace the philosophy of, I take my orders from the government. Now, as the followers of Christ, we're supposed to take our orders from God himself, which he committed to writing in the Bible so that we could thrive in life. And so I think we got it wrong during the pandemic. And, you know, I'm not here just to put down churches. They're run by people. People make mistakes. People sin. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect. That's why we need God and his mm-hmm. guidance. But now let's look at the guidance. Let's realize what we did wrong. Let's learn the lesson. Let's grow. Let's do better now. And exactly. So now that we've got the opportunity to more easily influence people's lives, let's get it right. Let's do the right things. Let's not worry about how many people are coming, how much money we're raising, how many staff we've hired. Do we have the biggest real estate portfolio in the community? What we need to do is be looking at those lives and measuring them according to the criteria that Jesus gave us for what a disciple is, you know, exactly. love, the obedience, etc. If we're moving people in that direction, hooray, hallelujah, amen, the church is alive and well. If we're doing anything else, shame on us, because it's our fault, nobody else's.
Well, this was a great opportunity, you know, COVID-19, in a sense, in so many ways. And you just touched on something that's so critical. And I pray that pastors, leaders of churches, and it doesn't matter, you can have a home church, it doesn't matter, you're a leader, that you draw some preference out of what we went through. Did we render to Caesar the things that were to go to Caesar, and to God the things that were God? Was God glorified during this 2.5 years of this pandemic, or did we fail him? And what can we do next time so that we make sure that God is exalted?
Yeah, and I think that's a different way of saying God first, you know, which is the first thing that Jesus said in Luke 14 about, you cannot be my disciple unless you love me so much that in comparison, it's going to seem like you hate your brother, your sister, your spouse, your friends. Everybody else is secondary. I must come first. And I think that's the first lesson that we forgot during the pandemic, is that when we enter a crisis, oh my goodness, what a great time to lean on God and say, help me through this. What do I do? And not instead to turn to the government and the media and to take direction from them. Because, I mean, you know, if we want a definition of places that are going to get it wrong, that would be it.
Oh, yeah.
And,
exactly.
Yeah. And so instead, let's go to the place that, by definition, is going to get it right. That's God and his word.
Amen.
And so, yeah, now we have this opportunity to look back, and even though it's in retrospect, say, oh, my goodness, how silly we were, how stupid we were, but we can do better. We can do better, and God wants us to do better. Let's figure out what that means and start incorporating that into the way that we're thinking.
And, George, to your point, I believe there's stories out there that we're not hearing. The media is not going to present them. But, you know, people need to speak up. Churches need to speak up, say, look, this is what we did. Good, bad, wrong, or whatever, and this is what we learned. We need to have that conversation so that we can all learn from it, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I was blessed to belong to a church that never closed during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We were sued by two different levels of government. There were pickets outside of our church. I mean, all kinds of stuff went on. But fortunately, we were led, key word there, led by a pastor who understood that, no, I take my guidance from God. And so we're going to continue to meet to worship him, to praise him, to learn from him, to be able to be prepared to share during this time of great opportunity in the community. And that's what we were getting there, was ideas about, okay, what does God tell us in the midst of a crisis? Let's look at the crises in the Bible, how people handle those, what lessons do we learn? You know, I mean, it was a great time of learning and instruction for us.
Exactly.
And, yeah, did our church suffer?
And faith building, too, George.
Yeah.
Because when you realize that God is faithful, what does that do?
And here's the irony of it. Okay, most churches measure attendance. So what do they do during the pandemic? They closed. During the pandemic, our church did not close. We went from 400 to 2,500. And that 2,500 is continuing to come now because they're seeing that we are led by a person who was called by God to lead God's people. He was trained and prepared to lead God's people in God's word. And so it's a congregation that's making a difference in our entire area now, because that man had the courage, the strength, the calling, and the conviction to say, yeah, I don't care what the government says. I'll listen to it. But if it conflicts with the guidance that God gives us, then those human beings are wrong. And I'm going to go with the divine one.
Amen. Your latest study, which generation's faith was most altered by the pandemic and how? We got about 3 minutes left, so I'll let you bring us home on that.
Yeah, I mean, the essence of it was, again, what a great time for people to grow, to learn, to be transformed. Yet what we found was with the millennials, who are the least biblical of our four adult generations, they were indifferent to spirituality, to faith, as something that they could use to help them navigate the pandemic. Gen X, who's always been kind of waffling and struggling spiritually, they had the greatest spiritual turbulence of any of the generations and had a general shift away from trusting God during the pandemic. See, this is where the church needed to be to tell, no, this is the time we lean on God. We don't turn away from him because we've got a crisis. He can work through that crisis and help you rise above it. Boomers and elders, the two older generations, had a slight move toward more biblical ideas about how to live life. So this was a crisis. When do people change? In times of pain and suffering. What causes pain and suffering? A crisis. And so this was a tremendous time to see positive change happen. The organized church in America did not exploit that opportunity, and we lost essentially more ground with our two younger adult generations, who, by the way, are our parenting generations. And so, you know, we've got to learn. We've got to learn from our mistakes. And the fact that those two younger generations, all generations in America right now, but particularly those two younger generations, the two with the lowest incidence of biblical worldview, what happened? They moved more towards syncretism, which was basically, yeah, I'm going to embrace whatever beliefs and behaviors make me feel good, as opposed to what is truth as ordained by God.
Wow. And you think about that, George, how vulnerable the millennials and those that do not have a connection with God, because how else are you going to get through this?
Well, and one of the things we discovered is, so we look at this generation of millennials, 2% with a biblical worldview, didn't even turn to faith to help navigate the crisis of the pandemic. And during that period of time, we found that there was 3 out of 4 of them who say they don't have any sense of purpose for living. Majority of them who say they don't have any meaningful relationships. 54%, big rise, who said they're struggling with mental health issues like anxiety, depression, fear, and suicidal thoughts. Why? Because they didn't go back to God's truth. That's the antidote to all of those issues. They're not really wrestling with mental health issues. They don't need to be medicated. They need to be biblicized, if you will.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
They need God's truth. That's the solution they're lacking.
Here it is. The professor at Arizona Christian University, president of the Cultural Research Center at ACU, Dr. George Barna, has been our guest. George, as always, appreciate it. God bless you, sir.
You too. Thank you, Bill.
A new IBM Institute for Business Value Report, 7 Bets, takes a look at the major trends shaping business and the bets leaders should make to benefit from them. One such trend is the acceleration of tech-led disruptions driven by generative AI. Salima Lin, senior partner, IBM Consulting.
We've hit a massive inflection point with technology. Generative AI has captured the world's imagination and democratized AI in every aspect of society and business, from supply chains and IT operations to customer service and HR. Business leaders need to capitalize on these trends and make bold, informed bets, like shifting their mindset from AI being an add-on to embedding it at the strategic core of their business.
To learn more about the seven bets businesses should make, visit ibm.com/IBV. Sponsored by IBM.
USA News Update. North Carolina Democrat Governor Roy Cooper has declared a state of emergency to stop a school choice bill in his state legislature.
It's time to declare a state of emergency for public education in North Carolina. There's no executive order like with a hurricane or the pandemic, but it's no less important. It's clear that the Republican legislature is aiming to choke the life out of public education.
Former Democrat, now Republican State Representative Tricia Cotham responded saying school choice like charters must evolve as one size fits all in education is wrong for children. President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy both said they had a productive debt ceiling discussion late yesterday at the White House, but there's no agreement as negotiations did not raise the nation's borrowing limit. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen announced June 1st is when the nation will run out of money. Lance Pry, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Law professor, recognized legal commentator. Horace, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning. It's great to be on the program.
Hey, always good to have you here. You're the constitutional expert, so help us out here. President Biden exercising his pretzel logic as usual. Of course, it's amazing sometimes how he conveniently picks and chooses the Constitution, but he's trying to force fit a round peg in a square hole here, in my humble opinion, and you know better. So I thought, well, let's get the expert on to ferret this out here. He's threatening to use the 14th Amendment to end the debt ceiling debate. Square that up for us.
So there's been a conversation for actually probably since the Bush administration about whether or not there is some executive authority granted to the president in order to allow debt obligations to continue to be paid regardless of whether or not Congress has acted. Scholars do not believe that the 14th Amendment was contemplated as a mechanism for dealing with debt obligations of the United States government. In fact, that issue is addressed in the Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution and among the powers of Congress. And so what the president is saying is, I don't want to negotiate, which is, since 1996, has happened about 50% of the time that there is a negotiation over raising the debt ceiling and what kind of changes will occur. The president is threatening to use an untested legal theory as a basis for him acting without the consent of Congress, mm-hmm. and then placing on the Supreme Court the responsibility of saying, no, there is no authority here, and causing a debt collapse, or using the threat of doing that to get the Congress to agree to go along for fear that the U.S. Supreme Court might actually agree that the president has this power.
Exactly. Well, this whole thing's been a gamble and a game of chicken that's been going on at great risk to the American dollar right now, which is in the crosshairs of the communist Chinese and the Saudis, doing everything they can to upend the petrodollar, for example, which would be an absolute disaster. And here we're playing politics at the expense of the American dollar and our standing internationally with other governments around the world that are counting on the United States. And for all this BRICSmanship that is taking place, it is at grave risk here. And, you know, the president, as the commander-in-chief, the chief executive officer of this government, he is being so irresponsible with this critical issue, and then misrepresenting to the people that, oh, we're not going to pay, you know, we're not going to pay our bills, and the Republicans are, you know, threatening this, and which is just, you know, one lie after another. There's no substantiation for the statements that he makes, and unfortunately, the mainstream media doesn't ask. I mean, they have no curiosity whatsoever, Horace, and I think that's also, you know, at a grave expense to the American people that supposedly they serve.
Well, that's true. One of the things that you and I have talked about is that to be a progressive is to wake up in the morning and every day is a new day. I don't need to know what happened during the Trump administration. I don't need to know what happened during the Obama administration or any other administration. I just need to assert this is what's going to happen tomorrow. The Republicans in Congress, led by Speaker McCarthy, have asked for something very straightforward. You're going to cut a dollar out of every single agency budget, 1% out of every $100 or $1 out of every dollar, $100 spent, and over the next 10 years, you're only going to allow the budget increase to occur by 1%. You're going to get rid of the 87,000 new IRS agents. You're going to require the work requirements that were in place all the way through the beginning of the Obama administration. You're able-bodied. You want to receive some assistance. The American people are happy to do so as long as you do your part to get out of harm's way in terms of your debt or your need situation. These changes are very mainstream, and McCarthy has promised that there is no change anticipated, recommended, or associated with the Social Security program, the Medicare program, or even veterans programs. And yet, the president directly says that this plan will harm those three areas. Now, that's
exactly
just a lie, but the media feels like this is just the politics of the heading into the new presidential election.
Exactly. And it's amazing how they cover, you know, for Joe Biden. But yet, if Donald Trump goes on a CNN town hall and questions what he's been questioning from day one regarding the 2020 election, oh, my God, heads are exploding. They just don't know what to do with themselves. You know, the president is, you know, former president is lying through his teeth. And where it's like, look, at we've been chewing on this for a long time. Would you do us all a favor? Would you prove that Joe Biden did, in fact, get 82 million votes? Could you do that for me, please? If you could do that, then you could probably, you know, quell the conscience of 62% of the country that has their doubts of the 2020 election. Of course, and all this is being further exacerbated by the poor policies and what Joe Biden has done to our economy and how he's hurt Americans across the board.
Okay, so Now, you put your hand or your finger on the real issue. You get the gold star in class.
Oh, thank you.
The real issue of why the types of conflicts that are occurring are occurring. We're having the debt ceiling fight. We're having the immigration battle. We're going to be having a shutdown battle over funding. Not because those issues are important and intractable, but it is precisely because the American people are very upset with how Mr. Biden has led the country, and his policies, in their view, hurt them. And also, in their view, his age makes him not a good fit to steward the economy and this country during troubled times. So what does the Biden administration team do? Let's have conflict after conflict after conflict. And as my grandfather used to say, never climb into the pen with a pig. You only get mud on yourself, and the pig likes it.
Exactly.
The plan here is to get everyone covered in mud. That's McCarthy. That's whoever the Republican presidential nominee is. That's any senators that stand up for the American process and our Constitution. They'll all be covered in just as much mud as the president himself feels that he is. And they believe that'll give them an advantage on Election Day.
Well, they're hoping so, but meanwhile, there's a lot of pain here in River City. And this is why Biden and the apparatchik for the Democratic Party is having a tough time and a lot of brain damage here, because even their own constituency is moving away from them. You know, they can see this as plain as day, Horace, and the pain is real for them. And Mayorkas, you know, with his statements, which is so typical and representative of this administration, they're comatose. They have no consideration, no empathy for the people supposedly that they're supposed to be serving. And Joe Biden has made it clear that if you have anything and any interest to do with MAGA, then you're some sort of deplorable, and you're not even counted in their calculation. All they're looking at is serving, you know, the Democrats, as long as you have a D before your name, and especially if you're a progressive, right?
Well, he's very unpopular, but he wants to push these ideas, and chaos is the way to get them accomplished, they believe.
Yeah, and he says, look, it's, I can do the job, you know. He just kind of poo-poos the question of his age and his fitness and just says, watch me. Well, we're watching him, and it's scary, Horace Cooper. We've got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there. We've got more from Horace on the other side. Stay with us. It's just about 18.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. That's 800-890-7088.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
COVID public health emergency is over in the United States. Most Americans said, well, it's about time the government finally got the message because we, the people, have been moving on with our lives. The other thing, of course, tonight, 1 minute before midnight, I don't know, it's like it almost sounds like an execution deadline. Maybe there's something there. But and that is the Title 42 goes away, and we've got hundreds of thousands of people at the border getting ready to overwhelm the system. He's the former constitutional law professor, recognized legal commentator. Horace Cooper joins us and it continues with us, I should say. Hey, Horace, so here it is. I mean, they're getting ready to storm. You know, the storming of the Bastille is going to be like nothing compared to what, you know, possibly is going to happen here at our southern border.
So the cartels have been telling dispossessed people that if they come after Title 42 ends, they'll be welcomed in to America, and they are not hearing a counter message from their home government. They're not hearing a counter message as they pass through other countries, and when they tune in to what's going on in America, even though Mayorkas says the border isn't open, he admits they are going to set up a process to expedite anybody who makes a fake asylum claim and allow them to wander throughout America with documents that allow them to work, etc. And it might be 3 or 4 years before their case is resolved. What is the difference between what the cartel is saying and what Mayorkas is saying? Not very much. Maybe the cartel says you can live forever in America, and Mayorkas is saying for the next 3 to 5 years you can live in America. That is causing, it is a super magnet causing this influx.
Well, look at the numbers here. We're talking somewhere 6-7 million they've estimated have already come into the country. Donald Trump said this last night, and he might be more right than wrong, that probably before this thing settles in, we could have an additional 15 million migrants in this country. You talk about the almost instantaneous demographic change that will take place in this country. This is incredible. Not to mention the load that we'll put on services. Here we are, $31.4 trillion in debt already, and you're opening up the border to take in this liability without any kind of consideration of how this could possibly be paid for. And meanwhile, you've got a system that counters everything that Mayorkas is saying. It's closed. But wait a minute. You've got an operation system that is producing this kind of crazy results. And your complaint is it's because of Congress. They haven't addressed this broken system we've had for decades. So your idea is to break it even more. Let's just exacerbate the problem all the more, right?
Yeah, these are economic migrants. These are not people that are worried about death squads coming in and killing them. These are not people that live in totalitarian regimes, although they come as far away as China, but there are a large number that we're seeing from the Middle East. They're not coming just from Latin America. Any place where countries have impoverished groups, whether that's Thailand, whether that's Vietnam, or even from Africa, the continent, what we are seeing are people that believe that if you want a better shot, a chance, come to America. These sanctuary cities are now admitting, as the mayor of New York just recently did, we said, come here if you want to be welcomed, and we will get you started. We can't afford to do this. Are you just as racist as the other places that said, we know we can't afford this, and so we're not going to do it? Or are you just realizing the very pain that other places have felt? Now, the Biden campaign is threatening to kick the New York City mayor, Mr. Adams, off of their advisory board because he's not sticking to the narrative that the more migrants we have that come in, the better.
Yeah. Well, and then, as if that's not enough, a sanctuary state, California, is talking reparations. I mean, the damage that's being thrown out there, it's like Joe Biden telling all these kids, hey, you don't have to worry about your tuition. Tuition's going to be free. I'm going to make this happen for you, right? And so meanwhile, they're hanging out in limbo with this expectation that Joe Biden is championing their cause and going to make their tuition problems go away. Well, the same thing. I think we're going down the same road with reparations. Now you have the governor finally who started this whole thing and said, okay, we're going to have we're going to set up a committee. We're going to do this research and look into it. And after everybody gets all revved up and excited at the prospect of reparations in California, he goes, I don't think so.
Michael Jackson's son, Michael Jackson is not alive, Michael Jackson's son, Prince, was born in 1997. There is a calculator that the grifters have set up that are creating this so-called reparation sham. Michael Jackson's son is worth $100 million. That's Variety. That's not Horace Cooper talking. He is eligible because he was born and has lived in California his entire life for $13,619 for every year of his life because of, quote, discriminatory health harms. $2,500 for mass incorporation and over-policing for every year of his life. Housing discrimination payment of $4,000 for every year of his life. Devaluation of his business, apparently he'd be worth more than $100 million, of $77,000 for every year of his life. What kind of just system says you're worth won $100 million, and you are just as much a victim as a person who's worth $1.
Yeah.
This is why it totals $800 billion if they were to pay what it is that they are offering. More than three times the whole budget of the state of California. Our friend, the governor of California, knows that this is not possible. But his friends, his party, has promised this.
Mm-hmm.
I have an op-ed coming out, and I refer to this as the Nigerian Prince email on steroids. You give us your votes, mm-hmm. and we're going to send you this check.
Yes.
Well, that email, you send us your cash, and then we're going to give you even more cash back. There is no Nigerian prince. The email is a scam. There is no possibility that this reparations effort is going to occur. Any scheme that offers up to $1.2 million per person and includes people who are worth $100 million is never going to see the light of day.
Well, I like what Larry Elder had to say. Larry Elder, who is a presidential candidate on the Republican side, there's a quote. He said, it's the extraction of money from people who were never slave owners to be given to people who were never slaves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's even worse than that. It's even the most elite among yeah. those who have never been slaves. So we are actually going to take this from working class people and give it to other people. The truth is, the left has destroyed the public school system in California. The left, which, by the way, California used to be one of the examples of the best public school system in the country. The left has destroyed the workplace environment. It is very difficult to start a new business. They have snatched the American dream away from working class people, many of them who happen to be black, and have told them in exchange for that, here's what we're going to give you a check for. Don't ask us to improve the schools. Don't ask us to change the economic environment. Just take this check. It's not a surprise that so many black Americans now in California are in favor of this. What's a surprise is that there's also so many Americans who send money to the Nigerian prince.
Right, exactly. How many other states are considering reparations, Horace?
About five.
Yeah.
Illinois is, Massachusetts is, but it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but meanwhile,
it isn't.
And what are you going to do? I mean, the people are going to be really upset when it doesn't deliver, and you say there's no prints, there's no email, and what do you do with the people like Angela Davis, who, you know, did a roots survey and found out that she's half white? My good, the look on her face, Horace, when she found out that there, that her family came across on the Mayflower. And she said, whoa, wait a minute, she was totally disdainful about this whole thing and in shock. So what do you do with mixed races that people say, they may identify, she identifies as black and claims reparations, but say, wait a minute, you're not even eligible because you have all this white blood in you.
Everybody's going to be identifying as black if they are handing out $1.2 million checks. But
oh, don't tell Elizabeth Warren that. I mean, she already got away with it. I had to bring that up. I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're just left open for, scams galore because, sadly, I don't know. The honor system just doesn't exist anymore, Horace, sadly. And that's had a great impact on the psychology and the moral backbone of our country. Horace Cooper, former constitutional law professor, recognized legal commentator, has been with us. Horace, as always, appreciate it. Godspeed, my friend. Take care. You got it.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Every day.